You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up on the show for you today. Jim Santel, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays, 9 to 11 across the network, is going to be joining us at 10:33, as he does every Thursday now, to talk about, there's a lot of things to talk about.
There's always a lot of things to talk about with Jim.
Yes, some legal things that the Trump administration is doing that raising some eyebrows.
No.
Oh, yes. So we will be talking to Jim Santel about that. Next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, Derek Van Orden, Wisconsin's own. Back in the news.
What did Pat call him last year? Professional. Oh, no, that was Eric Hovde. But still, it applies. Professional rake stepper.
Rake stepper. Yep. Doesn't seem to have hurt him, though.
No, never.
Not so far.
No.
But, yeah, Derek Van Orden is back in the news. So we're going to give you a little update on his latest outburst and then do just a recap of his greatest hits. I think it's worth reminding Wisconsinites what kind of representatives we have.
Yeah.
Being the face of Wisconsin. So that will happen after the 11 o'clock news. We will lighten it up then with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, for a little weather and wine. Find out what's going to be coming our way. Nice weather is going to come.
You promise?
Sometime. Eventually. Sure. And then Paul Noonan will be here, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, to talk all things sports at 11:33. We'll wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Take me to your leader edition. You'll want to stick around for that. There's a visual element to today's Tisbet that's worth, it's going to be worth taking a look at.
Be prepared.
Yeah, it's, ooh, ew. We wanted to start off, though, been bouncing around a lot, kind of whiplash.
You mean kids running down the beach having a good time, Jane?
No, I'm talking about the Dow.
Oh!
Here is the headline from CNBC. Dow falls 1,000 points. As tariff sell-off resumes after historic rally. Of course, the market crashed yesterday.
Like a series of days, crash upon crash upon,
crash. And then, of course, depending upon apparently which political party you belong to, either Trump blinked or he's a very stable genius.
He's playing 3D chess, man.
Right. Right.
Whoa.
But again, there was a rally then after he announced 4 hours later that the majority of the tariffs will be on a hold for 90 days.
Everyone except China.
Except for China. And then still for 10% across the board.
Yeah.
So there was a big rally yesterday after these huge, huge losses. And now, it's the stock market's down across the board.
1,000 points the Dow is right now, almost 953.19. I liked yesterday what people were saying. If you believe that he's a stable genius playing all the cards and the art of the deal, they were saying things like, "How's your 401k now?" It's like, well, the Dow like a month ago was at like 43,000, 44,000, so not so good. And a thousand up, fine, but now we've lost that.
Yeah,
so. Stop acting like you're all economists.
Well, and it's not even all of his. There's Fox News business people who are weighing in on this, who are not necessarily going along with the party line. Fox Business correspondent Charlie Gasparino explained President Trump paused most of his tariffs on other countries because the bond markets specifically were imploding. Now, neither of us are economists.
Yeah.
And we are going to find one who can explain all of this. But this is what Gasparino said on Fox News. "I want to tell you right now that Donald Trump outsmarted the world. Trust me. I'm an American. I support my president. But that is not what happened here.
Yeah.
I'd love to say he outsmarted the world, but that is not what happened here.
Yeah.
What happened in the bond market overnight, the spike in yields on the 30-year and the 10-year bond showed that people were dumping our bonds. And from what I understand, this is what forced the hand of this 90-day tariff reprieve.
From Blink Martindale? Sorry, that was my little joke.
Yeah, he blinked. It's the bond markets and the sort of lending markets that's the plumbing of the economy. And those markets were imploding last night. And that's now why we have a 90-day freeze.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said before, we're going to find someone who can really explain this and lay it out in ways, in terms that we can all understand.
Exactly.
But I mean, this is what happens when you make huge announcements like this. With no real reason. You want to impose tariffs? Fine. You want to mass deport? Fine. You want to do all these things? Fine. But take some time to do some studies. Take some time to find the information and then implement them over time. And the market will maybe react poorly, but it will adjust over time. But day after day of crash, and then you get one good day, and then everyone has the supporters of the nerd be like, well, look at it now.
Oh, yeah.
That's not how they work. Also, just, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, I'd also like to check the portfolios of many members of Congress. And
absolutely.
And I'm talking both parties, by the by.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Donald Trump said yesterday, now's a great time to buy.
On his Truth Social website, he talked about buying his own stock.
Yeah, now's a great time to buy my stock because the prices were crashing.
Yep.
And then 4 hours later, 90-day reprieve on these tariffs and the market rebounds. So as Steve from Milwaukee just texted in, Adam Schiff is investigating insider trading, short-term buys before Trump announced the delay in tariffs.
I saw in another story where they were writing about this from yesterday, and they said that Martha Stewart went to jail for less than this.
Far less.
Yeah. Right now, the Trump stock crashed to 19 points. It was at 50 at one. It's now at 19.
Now's a great time to buy.
I think to a certain point they knew what they were doing to make their buddies money, but like this, yeah, this is not, this is once again not 3D chess.
He was in the Oval Office this morning.
Yep.
Saying, my buddy over there made $2 million. My buddy over there yesterday made $3 million.
No. He said he made $2 billion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
$2 billion. And I will find that video. We couldn't play the video here because it was just too.
The sound is not good.
But it will be in the show notes to show that he knew exactly what the outcome could be because he's not dumb there. But this was a fleecing of our stock market, and your 401ks are being held hostage.
Absolutely. Supporters of the president who spent over a week defending his tariffs plans only to suffer whiplash after the 180 he pulled yesterday, now ridiculed by a conservative columnist on MSNBC. This is a conservative, Matt Lewis, who is laughing off attempts to spin this pause of 90 days as a planned move demonstrating the president's brilliance. Here is what Lewis said, quote, Congress should be in charge of tariffs, and if they want to regain that power, this could be done more strategically and less capriciously, and that's what we saw. Trump's defenders want to say this is part of the art of the deal. This is actually the art of the panic attack.
Jennifer Rayner on the text line listening on WFHR, she said, they aren't playing chess, they are playing Monopoly.
With our money.
With our hard-earned money.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting days ahead.
Yeah. It's going to be difficult.
It's going to be difficult. Absolutely.
The sooner we all realize, and some of y'all come to the realization that you voted for him, whatever, that's in the past, but you are being lied to right now. And the sooner you realize that, as Will Westmoreland said to us weeks ago, the sooner you could admit and realize and admit that you have been lied to, the quicker we can work together, because this is our money that all of us have worked so hard for over the decade. Because none of us, Jane, are you a billionaire?
When I checked yesterday, that would be, no.
Hey, Calvin Budenhoff, Cal B, a quick question for you. Are you a billionaire?
Not quite.
Yeah, so I don't, and I don't think they're even in the room right now. I'm pretty sure that we're going to be, though, the ones suffering the most through this. So.
Oh, yeah. It's us little people.
Yep, it's always us little people.
The ultra wealthy, they're all going to be just fine.
They'll afford that sixth boat.
They still need a tax cut, though. They still need a tax cut.
You are right. I am sorry.
Right?
I am sorry.
Apologize to the ultra wealthy. Very briefly before we go to the break, I found this from The Daily Show.
Yes.
And it's a little explainer. If you watch a particular network, you tend to get different news as opposed to what's actually happening in the world. So, Calvin, let's play this clip from The Daily Show as they explain what's happening with the markets.
Yo, what's up, finance fam? A lot of volatility in the stock market this week, so I'm hopping on here to help people who only watch Fox News understand what's happening in the market. Let's get started. Real simple formula. When the stock market is down, Fox News only covers trans people playing sports. That's how you know we're bleeding red. I've looked at thousands of hours of this, and let me give you a tip. The more obscure the sport, the worse the market is doing. If they're covering a trans swimmer in the NCAA, normal market territory. No need to panic. But this week, we got a trans fencer at the Cherry Blossom Tournament in Maryland.
What?
A lot of Fox coverage on this, which means the Dow is down a full 4%. But just yesterday, they're covering a trans athlete playing disc golf. That's a pretty obscure sport. It's iPhone footage, there's frisbees, 7% market dip, minimum. Doesn't stop there. The markets got worse. We got trans pool players, and not swimming pools, like pool table pools, like what you find in bars or rich kids' basements. That means 9% dip. But wait, this was in the UK. This is an obscure sport, not in America. We're down 12%. Can it get worse? Yes, the footage was from 6 months ago.
What?
That's a minimum 15% dip, bear market territory. If you see Fox News covering a trans person kicking a hacky sack, the market is cratering, 20% dip. In France, 30% dip. The footage is from 2 years ago, full-blown depression. Stay smart out there, folks. Your boy Koss. Money.
It's a great clip. We'll include that in the show notes if you would like to take a look.
God.
But yes, depending on which outlet you watch, you might be seeing things strangely covered a little bit differently.
Because when the stock market's crashing like that, what they do is they, for you, the viewer, they just take the information off the screen too.
Right. As opposed to if it were under Biden or any Democrat and this was happening with the stock market, that would be 24/7 on Fox News. We have a break coming up when we return. Some disturbing news about a former Milwaukee police officer. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Milwaukee Day is going to be Monday, April 14th. They call it Milwaukee Day because of 414.
Clever.
April 14th. And there is a great deal up for grabs with our friend Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area.
Absolutely.
Offering full year subscriptions to the Recombobulation Area for 41.4% off, honoring our city, Milwaukee. That's a $50 value for just $30.
That
is so worth it.
Yeah.
It really is.
They just won six. If they had never won an award before, this past week, they would now be the multi-award winning recombobulationary because they won six additional. I think they're in the 20s now.
Yeah, they've won tons and tons of awards for their reporting. It's absolutely brilliantly done. Dan Schaefer, of course, our political media
editor.
Thank you. But it's definitely worth checking out. For $30 for a full year subscription, it is a great deal.
The work he puts in alone for when there's an election happening.
Oh, my God.
The research. Oh, good Lord. Yes. Get it.
Check it out. Yep. And the Recombobulationary will be hosting a special happy hour event that's going to happen at Third Space Brewing in Milwaukee coming up in May for paid subscribers. Your first drink is on the house. You can join the Recombobulation area, including a 4-pack of tickets to see the Brewers and more. They'll have other giveaways and stuff. Nice. So check it out. Recombobulation area. Subscribe. Big deal on Monday. $30.
Boom.
Can't beat that. We're not going to have a whole lot of time to explore this. It is something we will look at more deeply in the future. But here is the headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Gay Venezuelan stylist sent to Salvadoran prison after a disgraced Milwaukee cops report. A former Milwaukee cop with credibility issues helped seal the fate of a gay Venezuelan makeup artist who was sent to an El Salvador prison. He claimed he was a member of this gang, but the credibility of this former officer, Charles Cross Jr., is so bad, prosecutors flagged him on a list of police who had been accused of lying, breaking the law, or acting in a way eroding their credibility to even testify in Milwaukee County. He got fired as a Milwaukee police sergeant in 2012. He did appeal it and then resigned in the process. Now he is working for CoreCivic, an institution that runs many immigration detention centers in the U.S. He typed his name over the title investigator on the form, implicating Andre Jose Hernandez, this gay makeup artist from Venezuela, who has denied any connections to this gang. Cross, this former police officer, one of the private prison contractors who are helping to ID these members of this gang. A designation landing them in prison without due process.
Which is unconstitutional.
It is unconstitutional, and it should terrify all of us.
I just want to make it clear, too. Do you know how badly you have to screw up to get fired
as a police officer?
And I'm sure that paycheck, while being a Milwaukee police officer will make you a lot of money, especially with your overtime, contract player for a private prison company, I bet you that's not a bad paycheck either.
Yeah. Asked about this particular case, the Department of Homeland Security wouldn't offer any more details on the case or the process in general, but said they do use more than just tattoos, do they, to determine whether or not you're a member of this gang. I thought that that's why they were pulling people off of the street.
If they're not using tattoos and there's another proof, I guess they're using vibes.
They know instinctually.
He must be a gang member. I just know it.
Also, no comment on the role that private contractors play in this process. That seems to be a conflict of interest for me. Mm. If you are going to be running essentially camps, should you be the one who is determining whether or not these people should be pulled out and put into camps?
No, I think it should be an independent group. But then again, when did we start doing things by the book or with us, you know, as a plan?
This man was one of more than 200 mostly Venezuelan migrants sent to this prison in El Salvador. The Justice Department contends that the president has the authority to use the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Which was previously only used in times of declared war against other countries. The 30-year-old Hernandez fled Venezuela last year. He says he was persecuted as a gay man, one of the protected groups allowed to claim asylum under U.S. law.
Because we're using 18th century policy here.
Mm-hmm.
By a president who actually, honestly, a lot like Donald Trump. Paranoid.
Oh, Venezuela.
Thin-skinned.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
No, John Adams. John, seriously, like John Adams. Like, He wanted to get rid of his enemies. He didn't like people speaking against him or the country. He's just, I mean, thin-skinned, paranoid, absolute terrible presidents. And, no wonder he wants to use that policy, use that law now. 18th century.
A few weeks after being reviewed by this former police officer, Hernandez was transferred to a detention center in Texas. And the last month he was flown to that prison in El Salvador. His lawyers have not heard from him since. This isn't even the case of the father who was deported, who the administration has admitted was mistakenly deported because of a clerical error. And now they're claiming, well, he's there. There's nothing we can do about it. It's out of our hands. You made the deal with El Salvador to take these people. And now you are saying that a person who was sent there by mistake, you can't do anything about it.
This is shameful.
Jim Santel, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these times.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. A couple things breaking as we come back on the air. The House has passed the budget plan for Donald Trump's agenda, including passing the SAVE Act, which we have talked about before, and which is essentially going to make it harder for people to vote, including married women. Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters is going to be joining us next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And hopefully she can help clarify some questions. We've had some questions come into Jane Says at civicmedia.us. So join us on Tuesday for Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters. And if you have any questions, please send them in to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. One quick market update also.
Yeah, people were talking about the market yesterday being so great because it rebounded from the disaster the past few days. I just want to give a market update. When we came to air today,
35 minutes ago,
29 minutes ago, the market had dropped 953 points. Currently, the market is now down 1,286 points.
Okay, nothing to see here. It's all fine.
But your 401k was cool yesterday. Woo!
Fall for a couple hours. Anyway, he joins us every Thursday at this time because we are not lawyers. We are only lawyer adjacent. Jim Santel is here from Amicus, a law review. I highly encourage you to listen to Jim's show Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network. If you can't listen live, you can also go back and listen to it as a podcast. You can find it at civicmedia.us. Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Jane, Greg, it's always great to be adjacent to you too. And yes, it is a good thing that most of us are not lawyers. And regrettably, you don't need to be today to be outraged, right, by the latest things that are going on.
There is so much to cover. I guess I would like to start with one plus, I guess. It's a small thing. But a federal judge did order the White House to restore the Associated Press access to the Oval Office. Now, essentially, Donald Trump had a snit because the Associated Press continues to refer to the Gulf of Mexico, which it is, as the Gulf of Mexico, not the Gulf of America. And so they denied them access to press briefings.
And Jane and Greg, I warn you, apparently on behalf of the White House, because if you continue that kind of crazy talk, you too will have your White House credentials revoked. I know for Greg, that's an especially significant thing.
Absolutely.
We have our tongues planted firmly in our cheek, but this is serious matter. Ken, how many times do we have to talk, Mr. President, about the Constitution of the United States of America? It's basic First Amendment stuff. I used to say it's things that juniors in high school know. It's sixth graders, fifth graders know this, that we have a free press. And part of that is access to news in America, access to the single most significant leader on the face of the planet. The things that he does are newsworthy, and you cannot simply prevent that news coverage from happening. And I am not surprised, but I am thrilled nonetheless to see that a judge has said, once again, Mr. President, you cannot do this. It will be appealed once again, and we'll go down that process as well. We hope that it will not reach once again the roadblock of the United States Supreme Court, which we have seen a lot in recent days.
Yes, we have.
Currently upholding a lot of what the president is doing. But today is a reason to celebrate free speech, assembly, First Amendment stuff, James Madison things, and this is hopefully the doors are back open to the AP, and we can once again refer to bodies of water as they are known in America and around the world.
Yeah, pretty much around the world.
This is just another example, Jim, of judges stepping up and doing the work what the elected officials are supposed to be doing, which is protecting the Constitution. And I have to imagine that at the worst version is they would uphold suppressing our free media. But I feel like the Supreme Court, if anything, if this made it up to the Supreme Court, but in this world, you can imagine, at the very least, they just wouldn't hear it because it just almost seems beneath them. They say, go with the appellate courts. That's done. We're not talking about that, as if to say, this is even worth our time. I know there's a version we can all imagine where they do take it up, but it's still, I mean, this seems like a battle they wouldn't even wade into.
Because there's so many other things that again, no less significant than this, but they've got an awful lot on their docket. They've got 64 cases altogether. And now it seems on a daily basis, maybe every other day, they're entertaining these motions again for emergency petitions. You would hope, Greg, that on this one, they would say, yes, indeed. This is one we're not taking up. We're going to affirm the lower court simply by not doing anything,
right,
which is all they've got to do. All they've got to do. And your other point, implicit in what you just said, need to reaffirm this, as we seem to do, Greg and Jane, every Thursday, the bastions, the guardrails, once again, in America, federal district court judges. Thank goodness. And again, these are our nominees and confirmands from both Republican and Democratic presidents across the board saying, no, Mr. President, the guardrails are holding right
so far,
now. And
yeah,
we hope that's the case. I'd like to think there's some grand juries out there that are meeting and also saying no to this president. But at least we know publicly that so far, the guardrails and this area are holding. It's unfortunate we have to run into court to get affirmations on the things that we trusted to be the case for 238 years.
Yep.
Well, when is this going to stop?
Yeah, not soon enough. And if you're just joining us, just to reiterate what we're talking about, Jim Santel is our guest, and we're talking about a court decision that the White House cannot not allow the Associated Press into press briefings just because they don't call it the Gulf of whatever. What is the enforcement mechanism, though, Jim? What if, so this, you know, in the interim, mm-hmm, and I'm an Associated Press reporter and I go to the next White House briefing and some big burly guy says no. What enforcement mechanisms are there?
Right. Then that is exactly the time that, regrettably once again, it's the lawyers who are the secondary bastion, right? That reporter's got to get on the phone right away and get to the AP lawyers to say, run back into court and tell that judge that the White House, the big burly guy, whoever that is, at the White House press briefing, is in contempt of your order, judge. And that's the next procedural mechanism that has to happen. We're seeing that already, obviously, with respect to the Venezuelan migrants. You go back in and say, judge, here is what happened, right? Here's the affidavit from my reporter and being denied exactly what you ordered. Find the White House. Find the press secretary in contempt, direct that they appear in your court if there's some need to do so. And once again, here's your civics as we always do it. If there's a finding of contempt, what kinds of things can you do? You can fine, meaning impose monetary penalties. Yes, indeed. Federal judges can incarcerate someone if in fact the contempt is in their presence, which presumably this would be, and it is of this nature. There's some serious remedies here. The difficulty, of course, is finding, maybe it is the big burly guy standing there at the door, but maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's the press secretary. And at a minimum, again, fighting back and saying, no, no, I'm standing here until the judge enters an emergency order that lets me in.
We have a lot to cover with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review every Saturday from 9 to 11 across the network. This is from Politico. Trump orders investigation of two first-term administration aides who criticized him. He's going after Chris Krebs. His big sin was saying out loud that the 2020 election was not stolen. And that is his crime, from what I can tell.
I think that's exactly it. And he probably at some point referred to the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of Mexico. That would only exacerbate the problem here. Both of these people, again, exercising First Amendment rights and expressing their views. They're not incendiary. They're not advocating for the overthrow of the government. They're expressing their views as we do on this broadcast every single day, as others do. Americans have this right to do it. And here's the takeaway lesson that everybody, regardless whether you are a present, former employee of any government anywhere, we've said this before, Jane and Greg, I'll say it once again. The investigation itself is the punishment. This is a complete break. Here's the clear illustration here of this president breaking tradition with every other president, including his own first term to some extent, and reaching out and saying, Pam Bondi, open criminal investigations of people. That has never been the tradition. Again, 238 years, that arm's length relationship, it is now clearly breached with a capital B. You should be horrified by that, everybody, every one of your listeners, I'm sure they are, because if the president can pick up the phone and tell the attorney general, the deputy, a United States attorney in eastern or western Wisconsin, in northern Illinois, I want Jane Mattenair, I want Greg Bach to be investigated. And the answer is, yes, sir, I'm opening the investigation. That can happen to anyone whose voice is out there.
Yes.
That's the concern. And again, why is this the punishment? Because then you're going to hire lawyers, right, to defend you. And when there's a request for information from you, if there are grand jury subpoenas, bank documents, all kinds of things, it is hugely burdensome. And it is built upon nothing. It is a violation, frankly. It's a violation of the oath of office that lawyers take, Department of Justice lawyers take, not to pursue an investigation absent some scintilla of something. But it imposes this incredible burden upon whoever the target is. This is his retribution again. And everyone should be incredibly concerned about these two to begin with. They will get lawyers. They will incur additional expense and additional burdens. But everyone now who could be out there to be the target of the retribution. That's what this presidency is all about as of today and as of the last 80 days in office.
And just by saying something that Donald Trump doesn't like, that's what we're talking about.
This also sounds like a federally funded slap suit is what it is.
Absolutely. We, as you were just saying, Jane, we don't like what you're saying, and we are going to run into court. We anticipate that, again, this may be going nowhere. Again, I like to think that there's no grand jury out there that's going to indict either one of these, finding probable cause to believe a crime has been committed. No, there's none. 23 people in America and all these grand juries, they're not going to return indictments here. But an investigation that goes on, it's exactly what a slap lawsuit is. It is the burden imposed upon you. It is prevent you from doing other things in your lives, including productively engage in business with families, with other pursuits in life. It is that is the punishment. And we are going down that road more and more. Colleges, law firms, and to anybody who says something afoul from the president's viewpoint, we'll go after you. And I've got a direct line to Pam Bondi. She's right down the street there. And I'm going to sick her on you.
We're talking about Chris Krebs and Miles Taylor. Thank you, Steve, from Milwaukee, for including that. These are the two people that now Donald Trump is sicking. his Justice Department on, essentially, because they said things that he did not like. And you're right, Jim. This is all about instilling fear in people. I don't want to get sued. I don't want to get investigated. I can't afford high-priced lawyers. That's going to bankrupt me, right? It is to scare people from saying what they think out loud.
Absolutely. And here's the other thing that I'm hesitant to say on the air, but I've made the offer in other places, and I've got friends and colleagues who've done the same thing. The financial impact that you just identified, Jane, is huge, right? If you hire any one of these law firms, big law, medium law, individual practitioners, it's a lot of money to defend against this. Money you should be going to other more productive things. The other thing that the lawyers in America need to do, not only to push back on these attempts to stop law firms, but we need to come forward and we need to say, you know what, I will take on the former employee of what you name the agency, and I will represent you. I can only do one at a time, probably ethically, but everybody's got to come forward and say, I will do that pro bono, and I will push back on all this so that it does not at least wreck you financially to the point that you no longer have a house, no longer have a car. And lawyers need to do that. That's what lawyers should do as a part of pushing back on all of this.
We're going to continue our conversation with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, A Law Review. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to a classier Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair,
Bouncy,
Greg Buck, and Sweet Kelby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you like news and you like news that is happening in your community, sign up for the Civic Media Digest. It's free. You can subscribe. You can get top podcast hours of your favorite shows. Mm-hmm. Also, news and commentary from our really, really hardworking Civic Media News team. Yeah. And find out what's going around the entire state and right in your own neighborhood, because they curate news depending upon where you are in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
It's pretty great. Wonderful. So check it out at civicmedia.us/email. Right now, we are joined by our friend and colleague, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, A Law Review, every Saturday morning from 9 until 11 o'clock. I highly encourage you to check it out. You will learn a great deal. Jim, I wanted to talk about this in some of the time that we have left. This is from NBC. In about half of U.S. states, international students' visas are being revoked. And we talked about this yesterday. This has happened to at least 22 students in Wisconsin that we know of so far.
Yes.
And they are just all of a sudden, they're living their lives and they're going to school and they're doing whatever. And all of a sudden you get a notice saying your visa has been terminated. You have to leave now.
It is, again, a stunning way of, again, it's retribution once again, right? It's going after people that we do not like for all sorts of inappropriate reasons. And it, while there is an argument here that, yes, indeed, visas and the awarding of them is within the State Department authority, once again, what these folks should do, again, in reliance upon the conference of a right to be here for a purpose to stay in the United States, they relied upon that, as you just said, Jane, for their lives, their schooling, their families, all kinds of things. And unilaterally, again, let's use the DP word, due process is absent here. And so this is another situation where if you have one of these, a lawyer should step up to the plate and say, let's go into court and push back on this. You may or may not be successful. There's an awful lot of discretionary aspect of granting visas there.
Right.
But if indeed the government cannot come up with some credible reason why you yourself have violated the terms and conditions of your stay in America, then a judge, as we're seeing, as we talked about before, should say, no, the government needs to prove more. You know, we have seen these, obviously, the apprehension. The tough student is perhaps the most notable. Plucked off the street by masked, arguably, I suppose, they're federal officers.
But we don't know
that. And right, we don't know that, right? Transported. What America are we living in? For that reason alone, for the future deterrence against our government now, we need to push back on this. When I was working with the sick population in Oak Creek, we had a huge number of folks who needed to secure a various means of staying in America. We did that by identifying a basis for them to be here. That's what they need to push back on now. It is, again, just the beginning. We, as you said, I think we have numbers in the 20s now. Jane, as you indicated, it will only increase because, and especially with a completely inappropriate justification. I remember Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State, saying, if you come here to study and you say things and you do things that we don't like in terms of articulating views, which again, protected by the Constitution, that's a breach of the contract, so we're going to get rid of you. That's what our Secretary of State said recently in connection with a tough student. They will say the same things without any merit to them going ahead. We need to call upon them to justify that before judges, before these people should be thrown out summarily of our nation.
That's the thing too, is we mentioned this yesterday or 2 days ago when we covered this, is the fact that we get from the right all the time. Well, if you just came here legally, if you just played by the rules, they're doing everything they were asked to. They filled out all the forms, paid all the monies, and they're coming here to better their lives through our educational system, and they're still being thrown out. Seems like you're moving the goal lines back once again. And also, just to reiterate, Jim, even though they are not citizens, they're here in this country, they have certain protected rights.
Let's say it once again, shout it from the rooftops, those people who say that if you're not a citizen, the Constitution doesn't protect you. That is wrong as a matter of law for 238 years. And everyone who is geographically here, again, including those now former Venezuelan immigrants who are now sitting in a prison in El Salvador, they had a right to due process under our Constitution. The Supreme Court effectively said that 2 days ago, even when it authorized the government to go ahead with that. Everybody who is here, whatever your purpose, whatever your reason is for being here, you are protected by the thing that James Madison wrote and that all our states adopted. It's called the Constitution, Mr. President.
And it's called due process, and that applies to everyone. And isn't due process part of what makes America America?
Absolutely. And again, in all of these things, we're seeing it every single day. It is being affirmed, Jane, every single day by judges, not summarily responding in a knee-jerk reaction, but having hearings. Judge Boasberg, again, we talked about him before, he is perhaps at the top of the list. How many hearings, how many briefs, how many things has he reviewed to get it right? That's what we do in America. We get to the facts. We invoke the law. We let people argue in court. That adversarial process, that's what it's all about. We do not summarily do these things that, again, our Secretary of State is doing, our Secretary of Defense is doing, my president is doing too. It is a difficult time in America, undeniably.
Check out Jim Santel's show. It's fantastic. Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, A Law Review. Thank you so much, Jim. We will talk to you next week.
Jane, Greg, always a pleasure. We'll see you then. Take care.
Stay with us. News is next, and then we're going to talk about Derek Van Orden's greatest hits. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.